last week we was zeichet to enter into the sugi of Menuchas HaNefesh, and we were brought into that world with the teachings of the Gra, Zchus Egaleinu, and Rabbi Nachman, Zchus Egaleinu, that both of these tzaddikim revealed to us that the ikar and the yisoid of Menuchas HaNefesh is not what we think, that a person is created with a certain temperament, but rather is an avoida of one's entire life to live with Hayyim, this day, with that feeling of Imlay Akshav Emasai, if not now, then when? With that feeling of Me'ena Nili Mili, if there's nobody else, it's only me, and all I have is this moment, this Herif Ayin, this passing moment, and the Goyim said, this blood Gemara that's in front of me, Rabbi Nachman said, this moment that I'm living in, so that a person not become confused, bewildered, and discouraged by memories of the past, and by thoughts of the future. We spoke about how old people have a tendency, for obvious reasons, to reminisce, to spend all of their time in the past when they felt that they were active and they were able to accomplish. And younger people have the tendency to only anticipate and to think about the future, when they will be able to do certain things. What both of them share in common is that they're missing the Menuchas HaNefesh that we need in order to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which means to live in that moment, to live in that present moment that they're in. So that, as we learned last week, in this amazing Ir Ketana, this village, this town that is the human being, all of the koiches that Hashem gave each and every one of us, and all of the kishrayness, all of our talents, all of our skills, should be used for Avodas Hashem, should be used for the tachlis for which we were given them. And the only way that can happen is if we live in a way of Menuchas HaNefesh. And this is an avoda that we can work on, and we're going to work on. And we're going to begin. We need to spend a little bit more time to understand this yisoid. In the world of Kedusha, in the world of holiness, there are two general domains. There's Kedushas HaMakom, there's the holiness of place, and there's the Kedusha of Zman, Kedushas HaZman, holiness in time. And we know that in Halacha, when we're dealing with Kodshim, when we're dealing with the Beis HaMikdash, with Korbanos, with sacrifices, if a person's thoughts are Chutz L'Zmanai, Chutz L'Memkaimai, if the person brings the offering, he comes with the wrong time in his mind, with the wrong place, not the Beis HaMikdash, in his mind, that according to Halacha, this is a pgam, this is something which damages, which destroys the sanctity of that maaseh, of that act, of that sacrifice. All of our avodah in this world is to protect, to protect and to strengthen our connection to Kedusha in space, Kedusha Samakam, and Kedusha in time. There are places that are holy. Our familiarity with holy places, of course, is connected to Eretz Yisrael. We're going to talk more about that. And there are Zmanim Mikudashim. There are times that are holy, that Hashem Yisbarach gives us every single week, Shabbos, and the other Yom Tovim and Rosh Chodesh and so on. How do we live in Kedushas HaMakom, in the holiness of space, and in Kedushas HaZman, in the holiness of time, not just in Yerushalayim, and not just on Shabbos and Yom Tov, but every single moment of our lives? That is itself the site, the mystery of Menuchas HaNefesh. In Tavshin Hei, Rav Yosher Ber Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha, gave a Yahrzeit Shir for his Rebbetzin, not for his Rebbetzin, rather for his father, Rav Moshe, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. It was the Yahrzeit Shir for Rav Moshe. And the name of that maimer which has been printed is Kodesh V'chol. I'm sure that it's translated into English. I read it in Hebrew, and it was not written not in English. It wasn't said in English or in Hebrew. It was, of course, said in Yiddish. In that maimer, Rav Yosher Ber defines the underlying yisoid of Kedushas HaMakom and Kedushas HaZman. holiness of place and the holiness of time. And he explains that throughout history, there has been this great movement of man evolving, progressing from the earliest stage of being nomad, a nomadic society, nomads who wandered from place to place with their flocks, with their herds, going from one place to another place, setting up, leaving, coming and going, and moving forward in history to agricultural settlements, and eventually larger settlements, villages, towns, and the whole process of urbanization that led to the creation of large cities that we have now. And the Rav explained that for the most part, civilization is the creation of people who were bound to a place, who had a sense of makom, who belonged to a place, who set up permanent dwelling in a yeshuv. The nomad was an individual. There are still such people, but those people are primarily in uncivilized areas. The nomad is a person who wanders from place to place. He has no land that is his own land. He doesn't give to the earth, and he doesn't take from the earth. His mahalik in life is to search for a good place where, in the meantime, the weather conditions are favorable, the grazing conditions are favorable, and so on. And as far as there being any other people that could threaten his time in this place, so these are things that the nomad looks for. When the conditions change and they're no longer as favorable as they were, or the seasons change and so on, the nomad picks up his tent, puts everything together, and takes his belongings and wanders off looking for another place. The bottom line is that the nomad has no hergish feeling of place. He's a wanderer. He doesn't have a makom. On the other hand, the farmer is a person who cries over his little piece of earth. He davens that it should rain, and he gets up early, and he's tireach, and the amelis and the agia, how hard he works to cultivate that piece of the world that the Baruch Shalom gave him. And if anybody tries to take it away from him, to take that place away from him, he'll fight that person or those people, will fight the mamish to the death. Because this is his place. And this was the place that would be for him, his children, his grandchildren, which he probably thought, ad saif kol adayos, till the end of time. This was his nachla. This was his place of menucha, his resting place. This is where he wanted to be, and often they were buried in those places as well. This was his place. Therefore we find at the beginning of time, The first ma'avak, the first struggle that took place, the first machlokes, of course, was between Cain and Hevel. Cain had to be victorious. It's not a question of whether he was right or wrong. He was victorious because Cain was a farmer. And Cain had a sense of place, of permanence. Hevel, on the other hand, the Rav explains, Hevel was a rovetzon. He was a shepherd. He was a nomad. He didn't have a kesher to the earth, to the ground. The settler is stronger than the nomad. The one who has a place is able to persevere over the one who doesn't have a place. That's why the punishment of Cain was that he would be a novenod, that he would forever not have a place. That he would be a wanderer. He was transformed into a nomad, into a novenodniker, without any menucha. Menucha saguf, menucha sanefesh. He became a novenodniker. The Rav explains that just like in the physical world, there are these two types. There are the nomads, and there are the misnachalim, the settlers, the city dwellers. There are those who have a tchusha, a feeling for kedushas hamakom, for the sanctity of space, of a place. And those who pitch a tent, move the tent, wander from one place to the other. So too in ruchnias. It's the same thing when it comes to spirituality. As a matter of fact, the Rav saw modernization, the whole process of modernization, as a spiritual regression back to the world of nomadism, back to being a nomad, with all of the skyscrapers and all of these mega cities that we have, these huge populated cities throughout the world. Modern civilization is in pnimius, from the perspective of ruchnius, is a regression back to the world of the nomad. What does that mean? So Yosheber explains that there are Jews whose Yiddishkeit lacks a sense of permanence, of hisyashus. This type of a Jew picks up on a certain aspect of Yiddishkeit that he enjoys, that he likes, and as long as the conditions of the Yiddishkeit are favorable for him and makes him feel good, that he feels that he's part of something, and that he feels that it adds to him spiritually, emotionally, culturally, whatever it is, as long as he has that sipuk, he pitches his tent and he sets up camp in that mitzvah, in that type of learning, in that shul, in that place, whatever it is, for that time. But the moment that the mitzvah begins to become uncomfortable, and the conditions of life are less favorable for his davening in this way, or learning in this way, or being careful with Shmir Sainayim, with what he watches, with what he listens to, what he says, and so on and so forth, all of these things. So then he picks up his tent, and he moves to something else. That doesn't mean that, God forbid, he leaves Judaism altogether, but he leaves that mitzvah, he leaves that yeshiva. You have now Bochum, the way that they travel from yeshiva to yeshiva, they should carry a backpack with a tent, and to go from one place to this way, the yeshivas would save on the dormitory. They wouldn't have to have a dormitory. Imagine the Bochum, each Bochum would just carry a little tent on his back. That's how quickly the Bochum are moving from one yeshiva to the next. You used to have people that had been in the same place for 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. This was his makom. Same when it comes to davening. A person has a makom. This is my place. This is my makom. Sometimes I'm not so happy here because I expected to get a certain aliyah, they didn't give it to me. And I expected that the rabbi should mention my name, he forgot to mention my name. And I get upset and I might give him a mishaberach. But this is my makom. And I can't leave because I'm bound to this place. But the spiritual nomad doesn't feel such ties. Not to a mitzvah, not to an avodah. He'll try this, he'll look at that. When he feels that he's getting something from this type of Yiddishkeit, he'll stay. But the moment that it's no longer for him, he'll leave, or he'll continue doing that, but in a very, very half-hearted way. All of Klal Yisrael's journey, from the time that we left Mitzrayim, and we were nomads wandering through the desert, the entire journey was one big she'ifa, one great yearning and longing, to finally have our own land, to have a makom. To have our own land, and to have not only a land, but to have a bayis, a beis hamikdash. When we were in the midbar, when we were wandering in the desert, it was unbearable. And Hashem Yisbarach gave us the Mishkan, that we should at least be able to set up that place of holiness. But it was temporary, until finally we zeichet to come to Eretz Yisrael. And then finally to be zeichet, to achieve the highest level of Kedushas HaMakom, to be able to come into the Kodesh Kodashim, the Beis HaMikdash itself. And so too, there are Jews whose Yiddishkeit is a movement towards urbanization of the self, towards being settled, towards being tied down very much to my learning, to my davening, to my avoda, not to fall, not to slip. This is who I am, this is what I do. Because a spiritual nomad could be an individual who has tremendous understanding about Yiddishkeit. Adrabe, it could be somebody that studied a lot, and he learns a lot, and he understands a lot, and he's very, very smart. And he knows a lot, and he could tell you about the Chassidim, about the Misnagdim, about the Sfadim, about all different mitzvahs, and tell you these ideas, and he heard this lecture, he heard that lecture. But when you ask him the question, what's your makom? Well, who are you? What's your makom? For this he can't answer. What's my makom? My makom is here, my makom is here, my makom is there. He doesn't have a makom. He doesn't have a world because he's a nomad. Because he's a wanderer. Listen to the words of Rabbi Yosheber there. Again, he spoke them in Yiddish, but this is the translation into Lashon HaKodesh, into Hebrew. His iris dosis mivia liriyas ha'elokim kimizgarta umekaimal shel ha'olam. When a person has an awakening in ruchnius, a spiritual awakening, the Rav says this must bring the individual to see God as his mizgeris, as the framework, and as the mokum, the framework, and as his place in life. God is not an idea, God's not a concept that you refer to. God becomes that person's place. He writes, Ha'adam ha'nilhav chai kivyochel b'seicha elokim. The Yid, the Jew, who's on fire, who's excited about the Rabbanu Shalom, whose Bem is filled with the fervor of Avodas Hashem, he lives, the Rav writes, b'seich ha'elokim, in God. In other words, God is his address. God is his place. Elokus memaleis eschayev shel ha'odem hazeh. Elokus, godliness, fills this person's life. Umanikolei mashmos v'toichen, and gives his life, and fills his life with meaning and with content. Therefore, he continues and says, Harachayv, the street, Habayis, the house, Beis HaKnesses, the shul, Ubeis HaMischer, his place of panos, of business, Misachtim Ke'achim. He might be during that day in all these different places. He started off in the house, then he went on the street, then he went to shul, and then he went to work. So we have four different places that he was in. And even when he had to get from one place to the other, he was in 100 different places. But the Rav says he has one makom. All of these places converge in the makom. And that's why Hashem is called makom, the place. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called makom. Why? Chazal says, he's Mekayim Shel Olam. He is the place of the world. The Mekayim Shel Olam means that where this Jew, a Jew who's not a nomad, but a Jew who is a person that's attached to Kedushas HaMakom, in his Avodas Hashem, he lives in every single place that he is. That's Hashem's place. That's why Hashem is called Mekayim Shel Olam. He doesn't live like a nomad in his Yiddishkeit, from one thing to the next. I'll try this, I'll try that. Aliyas and Yeridus and Yeridus and Aliyas and back and forth, and every day something else. And you have people that he's in this shul, he's in that shul, he's in this shul, that shul. He'll try this, he'll try this issue, he'll try this type of one, try this kind of everything, every single day in his Avoda. But this person lives in the Mekayim Shel Olam. Therefore, Hashem is Baruch Hu's Chavrusa. And even if this chavrusa didn't work out in yeshiva, doesn't mean he leaves yeshiva, doesn't mean he's lost to be mechal Shabbos. Hashem is his chavrusa. And a person who lives that way, a person who lives that way has a sense of kedushas hamakom in ruchnius. He has a place. Having a place, everybody knows, is the root and source of menuchas hanefesh. Oy vavoy, the saddest thing in the world is when a person does not have a place. When a person is homeless, when a person is wandering from place to place, everybody knows, I feel this, and I'm sure any one of you who Baruch Hashem has a home, you know you feel this, that when you're away, you're just not the same person. You can't be. And that's how we have to feel if, God forbid, we're away from the Rabbanu Shalom. Baruch HaMakom, he's our place, and we have to live in that place and be settled in the Rabbanu Shalom. So that's the aspect of Kedushas HaMakom. Kedushas HaZman is much more complicated. Holiness and time is a very, very, very big inyan. Bechlal, what is time? Place, we have a little bit of hasaga what a place is. We're in one right now. So we have a little bit of hasaga. Time we're not quite sure. It's a very, very big inyan. It's a big inyan in Torah, it's a big inyan in Kabbalah, it's a big inyan in Lahavdil, in philosophy, and in science, and physics. And Rabbi Yoshua Bey, of course, was proficient in all of these fields. Particularly, he draws from the philosophy of Bergson, Lahavdil Mekayesh L'chol, and other great scientists, physicists, and philosophers with whose writings he was extremely familiar. And then the Rav tells us that there are two ways of measuring time. In the Hebrew, it's written Zman Kamusi, or some would say Zman Kamuti, which means quantity or amount, to measure time by its amount, and Zman Echusi, or to measure time by its quality. Very simply put, which is, it's an insult to the Indian, because really it's much, much deeper than this, but very simply put, there are those people whose entire way of looking at time is with a watch. With a watch, with a calendar. Time means a certain the way that the earth moves and how many revolutions and the chulu v'chulu and how time is defined. But what it boils down to is that there's this cold scientific empirical reality, a piece of life that is called a minute, it's called an hour, it's called a day, a week, a month, and so on. A person who lives in this simple, or even if it's a very scientific and complicated way of viewing time merely as that which is past and that which is in the future, the person who lives that way could live to be 120. But as far as what his life was, and whether, like we know from the Sfarim HaKadoshim, we talk about Avram the Tzaddik, and says, Bar Bayom, to come with one's days, to live with one's days. This person really didn't live in time. He was a passive spectator, standing there with a stopwatch, or with a calendar, watching the minutes and the years go by, of course, doing things and so on. But as the Rav says, he is more of a yitzir and not a yotzer. He is more of a passive created being that just looks in a cold way upon the passing moments than a lebedik, a person who lives mamish, who lives in time. The one who embodies this type of the passive scientist who measures time by the watch and that's all, the one who embodies that is the slave. The slave is a person who has no bailus, who has no control over time. He doesn't live in time because it doesn't belong to him. He's meshubit to his master from one minute to the next, from one hour to the next. He can't live in any moment because it's not his moment. Therefore, even in halacha, that the ptur, the exemption of the eved from mitzvah shazman groma, which is different from why women are exempt, but that an eved, a slave, why is a slave exempt from time-related mitzvahs? So the Rav explains, because he doesn't have time. He doesn't have a sense of time. He doesn't live in that moment. That moment is missing to him. And he doesn't feel in any way that amazing tension that we feel of Imlay Akshare Masai. Oh, if I can't do this now, when am I going to do it? Adarabba, he's just trying to find a way to be able to get someplace else so that the master doesn't see him hanging out over there someplace. Instead, he should be working. So he's just trying to find a way to kill time, to avoid living in time, because his time is not his. So that's all the Eved wants, is to avoid the tension of the Herf Ayin, of Akshav. Remember last week we spoke about the whole union of being a Jew is to live in this moment. That's Kedushas Hazman. It doesn't only mean Shabbos and Yom Tov. The Baruch Shem gave us Shabbos, we're going to talk a lot about Shabbos, especially Shabbos. But Shabbos gives us the koich to be able to live in time. But the emes is the Baruch Shem wants us to live every moment of our lives, not by the watch, not by the calendar, but to live mamish in that moment, in that herif ayin. And that's what it means, a ben chayrin, a free person who's active, who's changing the world, who's creating. This is something what communism sapped the energy out of the olam that was there when communism took away time from the person, that it's not your time. There are bailim, there's always somebody that's your owner, that's your master. And in Mela, we understand what the Gemara says, that the laziest person in the world is a slave, because time means nothing to him. There's no creativity, there's nothing. There's no ebb and flow, there's no moment. Everything is just a time on the watch, on the calendar, zehu. And I mentioned before that, I remembered, when I said this, I remembered a silly thing from when I was in school, but I guess when a person remembers something, so unless it's something that he's not allowed to say, then it's probably a simile that he should say. But it was an Irish guy. But I remember when I was in high school. So one of the wonderful things that I experienced when my parents decided we were going to go on Aliyah was the transition from being in yeshiva in America, where gym consisted of 50, 60 desperate boys who were thrown one basketball, and we had one hoop in the gym that was broken, And we had to somehow try to take the ball, each one fought for the ball, to be able to get a shot. That really was what gym consisted of when we were growing up in yeshiva. Suddenly, we moved to Eretz Yisrael, and there gym became a very, very serious thing. And there was all kinds of gymnastics and races and everything. And I personally didn't care too much for all the other things. I really just wanted the ball back and to continue shooting, except on a fiberglass backboard somewhere, which they didn't have in Eretz Yisrael, but to just continue. But instead, we had a very serious gym class, and the teacher was a soldier. Remember, a guy with a big, you know, one of the America's Arav people, big kippah suga and a long black beard, and he was a very tough guy, a real soldier. And he used to drive us like slaves. And I remember how we had this course that we were running. We had to go through this forest by the school. It was very beautiful. We had this forest, and we used to have a track, and then we had this thing to run through the forest, and he would stand there with a stopwatch, and then he would keep each one's time and write it down. So there was, in that class, there were only two Americans. It was me and this other guy. There were only two Americans. And I was as a young person, I was very athletic, and even though an American, even if he's athletic, it's hard to keep up with the Israelis. In those days, it was very, very hard. But I was able to keep up. But this other fellow was extremely heavy, and this was torture. Every week was torture for him, this type of a gym thing. And I remember that myself, together with all of the Israelis, would have to wait for him to emerge from the woods, because it took him much longer time. Everybody else was already there and sitting down and waiting for him, and the poor guy would come huffing and puffing out of the woods. And I remember that the soldier, our teacher, was standing there, and he would say to him, I don't know what the guy's name was, he would say, Baruch, Baruch, Bishulcha, Sichim Luach, Lo Sha'on. To time your race, we need a calendar, you know, not a watch. It doesn't make a difference if a person's life, if that's the race that he's in, what they call in America the rat race. I don't know if that originated from me, which I said many times, that even if you win, you're still a rat. But that's the race of this world that a person's in. And in that race, if that's the only race that you're in, then everybody's a loser. Everybody's a loser. That's the race where it's not the moment that you're in that's filled with chiyus, that's filled with the burning shalom. But instead, you just watch them going by, and you're just looking at the clock for when work is going to end, and I'm finished, and I'm potter, and I don't have to smile anymore at this client, and I don't have to talk anymore to this boss, and I'm potter, ending, finished, I can go home. And then you have a person that even when he comes home, his time is not time, and he's bombarded with this and with that. There's no menuchas anefesh. He can't enjoy the moment that he's sitting with his child, and the child is smiling, and the child's playing. Rabbi Shalom, this, how many years do you think you're going to have this child, this grandchild? How long do you think you're going to be in this world? You know what this is? If you could stop this on a camera, which you probably will, and then you can look back and say it was gewaldic, but while you're here with this child or grandchild, you're not enjoying yourself because you think, I have an appointment, I have to be this, I have to go back to the office, I have to get this from the office, and you can't even be that moment with the child. That's the life of a slave. That's the life of a slave. That's Azman Grama. You don't have your own time. This is the opposite of menuchas nefesh. So the Baruch Shalom took us out of Mitzrayim. Taking us out of Mitzrayim meant that the Baruch Shalom began his project of transforming a nation of slaves, nomads, without space, without time, into a melechas kahanim v'goy kodesh, into a holy nation. So this time, after Pesach, we weren't ready, we didn't know what hit us. So the Baruch Shalom gave us Sfiras HaOmer. He gave us this period where we count days, we count time. Because in order for a person to be able to receive the Torah, in order for a person to taste the sweetness of being free, he has to begin to live in those days, to appreciate each and every day of his life, to live with each and every day the preciousness and the precariousness of the moment that you're in, that it's only here now, and you'll never have this moment again, ever, ever, ever again. Therefore, the Baruch Shalom gave us this most remarkable mitzvah, which is to count time. Hayoyim yoyim, this is the day. So, hayoyim yoyim, to prepare us for Kabbalah Satayra. Prepare us for that time of being people of Torah, to be free people. and when a person is a person of Torah, when a person receives Torah, he's a person that lives in time. So then when he learns Parshas Lech Lecha, he's not reading about something in his Bible class that once happened thousands of years ago. There was this guy, Abraham, and he went like this, and he went over there, and he traveled here, and he had this, and he saw, and this test, and he overcame this, and he did this, and then he married this person, he had these children, and it's Alta Maisa. Everybody here knows that each year, when it's after Yom Tov, when we come back to Avraham Avinu, we feel mamish, like we're living with him. Because a person who lives in time, and a person who lives in space, that means you could be with Avraham Avinu in his time and his space. And you're traveling with him from Ur Kasdim. And you're with him when he's holding the knife, the Machelis, and he's standing by the Mizbeach. He's standing there with Yitzhak Avinu lying there. And each and every one of us holds our breath. What's going to happen? Even though it's so strange, because we know the outcome. We know that it has a happy ending and everything's going to be all right. But every one of us holds our breath. Everybody. And you know that space between Miketz and Vayigash, where all of a sudden the parasha ends, and everybody goes home and says, "Wow, you were left like at the end of Miketz. What's going to be?" Yosef and his brothers, they don't see each other, they don't recognize each other. What's going on? How is this going to end? Even though we know how it ends, but every year we don't read a history book called the Torah. We live again in that time. It comes back to us, and each and every one of us, when we live in that moment together with Yosef Yitzchak and his brothers, we know that it means that I'm living with my own brothers, my own sisters, in a way that I'm disguised. I don't see him. They don't see me. He doesn't understand me. I don't understand him. And Yosef Yitzchak, and Yosef Yitzchak was in jail, and what it meant in jail. We feel that we're there with him. And we go throughout all of Torah like this, and Rabbi Akiva's laughing by the chum, by the ruins of Beis HaMikdash, because he's filled with the emunah that this is the beginning of redemption, the beginning and the fulfillment of the Nevuahs. So we laugh together with Rabbi Akiva. And when the Rambam says halacha, and the Ravid comes after the Rambam, he argues with the Rambam, we feel that the Rambam is living together with the Rambam, with the Ravid, with all the Rishonim, and we're learning that we're in this place, in this world, and we're transported back someplace to the Middle Ages in Spain, or someplace by the Balaitaises in France, or in Germany, or in England, and we're transported back to these places, and we live with the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh in the Ukraine, in Mezhgorod, and we live with the Vilna Gaon in Vilna, we enter into the Herif Ayin, into that passing moment of the moment that the tzaddik was in. So we're not reading about somebody who's just a name on a calendar. There's a calendar that 250 years ago there was this Jew by this name, of somebody that once was. But these are dynamic living guests in our lives, that we welcome them into our lives, we bring them back into our lives every single time, because we live hayyim and we live achshav, we live now, in hayyim. And this connects once again the world of Brisk and Breslov, which last week we were talking about the Gra, the Vilna Gaon, Vilna, and Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Nassen, in the fourth section of Hilchos Pikadon, Lekut HaHalachos, Rabbi Nassen talks about the simple kavanas that a Jew should have when he says Sfiras HaOmer. The kavanah pshuta by Sfiras HaOmer. And Rabbi Nassen says that a person has to know, this is what you think, that a person has to know that every single day of life, every single day and every single minute, amenuyim and svurim, b'misper b'minyan kol yom v'yom. That every day of your life counts. Every single day is counted. V'hodim yitzarach liten cheshbon mikol yom v'yom kol shor v'reg. And a person is going to have to give, we'll talk more about this next week, a person will have to give a cheshbon at 120. At 120, you have to give a cheshbon for every single moment. For every single moment. In other words, in the world of the yeshivas, there's a concept of ben hazmanim, of between times, as if there is such a concept of ben hazmanim. We understand that a bracha needs to have a little bit of a break, and because of the intensity, we hope, of the zman, So he needs a little bit of a break, and even the tzaddikim will go a little bit out to take a little bit of a vacation. Avad Hashem wants every Jew to have time to relax and to take a little bit easy. But then you have a person who bein hazmanim, you wouldn't even recognize this yeshiva bacher. There's no tzur of yeshiva bacher, not with minyanim, not with any learning. It could be he didn't pick up a sefer in a month, not with how he's been on the mokad, on the chaver, with shmir sainayim, with shmir halashen. Everything is different. Why? Because he has this concept of Bein Hazmanim. And all of us know that the Zman is shrinking as we speak. And the Bein Hazmanim is growing much, much larger until soon everything's going to be Bein Hazmanim. And maybe it'll be just like a day every now and then that a person goes to yeshiva. There's so much Bein Hazmanim. But that idea of having a time that a person could, yes, the yeshiva, I didn't see you look at a sefer for the last 2-3 weeks. So he just has to say, oh, it's Bein Hazmanim. What does that mean, Ben Azmanim? Either the yeshiva is with you everywhere you go, that's your makam. You're a Ben Torah. It means your makam is with you, whether you're here, or whether you're in the Poconos, or whether you're in Switzerland, or in Eretz Yisrael. This is your makam. Your makam is your yeshiva, man. You're a yeshiva bacher. That's your makam. And what about your time? Of course. Enjoy a little bit, take it easy a little bit, but not to look in a gemara, not to look in a sefer. What does that mean? It means that the emes is that the yeshiva is not your makam. And the truth is that the zman that you're counting was on the clock and on the calendar. When is the zman finished? When am I out of yeshiva? So then I could be bein hazmanim and bein hamakoymis. There's no ben hazman, there's no ben hamakoymis. We're thousands of years, we've been already kicked out of Yerushalayim, and we still live in the Beis HaMikdash, in Yerushalayim, together with Rabbi Akiva, together with all the tzaddikim, the Kohen Gadol. We live mamish in that place, in that time. And that's the inyan of Sefiras HaYomim, not to think that there's a time of your life. There wasn't a time. Because a person sometimes having a lousy day, he's having a bad day, and he didn't do so well with his Yiddishkeit, his Torah mitzvahs. And he didn't accomplish, so then he just has to say, well, that wasn't the day, that was Ben Azmanim. When I get back on track, I'm going to make it a good day. But those days, you know, there's this funny feeling that a person can have, like there are days in life that they somehow don't get. They don't get onto the Baruch Shalom's calendar because I was in a time that was putter. I was in a mokum p'tur. That a person could feel this way. And that's why I was explaining, that's why he doesn't understand. So when he comes after 120, he comes to the Baruch Shalom, he comes to Shemayim. And the Baruch Shalom says, come, I want to show you a little bit about your life. And he says, oh, gets a little bit nervous. And the Baruch Shalom says, here's a picture of you. When you were, this is a picture of you in Tavshin Samach, in the summer of Tavshin Samach Vav. You think Tavshin Samach Vav this summer. And the Rebbe shows you a picture, and you're someplace like, what's it called, those boats in Venice? What are those boats that have, is that word?
Gondolas.
Huh? Gondolas. And you're sitting there, and there's somebody over there maybe that is not from your yeshiva, you understand, maybe she goes to a seminary someplace, and you're in your gondola, whatever you call it, in your little sfina, in your little boat, and the Baruch Shalom shows you this picture, and you say, what's going on over here? And the Baruch Shalom says, well, Yud Beis Tammuz, Tavshin Samach Vav. There's a place in the world that I made, and it's called Venice. You don't know that place? He said, oh, I know. So this is a picture of you in that place. And then you're very, very uncomfortable. And you say, don't you have there pictures of me in yeshiva? There are some other pictures of different times, and then there are things that are not so nice even over there in Venice, and things that, and the Baruch Shalom continues with this film, and he shows you another film. And there's this funny thing in a person's head. There's this thing that says, well, there's a Ben Hazmanim in my life. But by the Baruch Shalom, there's no such thing. Because by the Baruch Shalom means every single second. Every single second. That's what Rabbi Nelson says, Sefiras HaYomim means, don't make this mistake. He says, every day of your life is counted. Every day is b'mispar u'b'minyan kol yoyim v'yoyim v'ha'odim yitztarech li'tein cheshben al kol yoyim v'yoyim. Even though this scares us, it frightens us because of the responsibility. And again, it doesn't mean that you can't sit in a boat. It doesn't mean you can't go to Venice. I'm not passing on that, whether you should be in such a place. But you can't forget the tachlis of your life. And even if you're on the boat, how to live and how to dress and how to talk and how to think and how to act and what you're looking at. Because you have to live. That's your makom. The makom is Yerushalayim. The makom is that place of holiness. And the zaman is ne'ila every single minute. And that's what it means. The Sheva Shabbos is the 7 weeks of Sefer, of course, correspond to a person's life, the years of a person's life. But David Melch said, "Limnaisya meinu kein hoida." The Rebbe Hashem, you taught us that we have to count our days. And therefore, a person should not delay and postpone from day to day. I'll eventually be a big tzaddik. When I move back to Eretz Yisrael, I'll be a big tzaddik. I used to be a big tzaddik. When I get someplace where it's more conducive to being a tzaddik, then I'll be a tzaddik. And we're constantly delaying. When are we going to learn Shas? When are we going to accomplish? When are we going to talk properly to our children? When are we going to talk nicely to husband or wife? When are we going to do this? When are we going to stop looking at that? We push it off from day to day, and we think that there are days that they don't count. But it's not true. When a person lives in the Haraf Ayin, in the Achshav, and he doesn't think of what was yesterday, he's not thinking of what's going to be tomorrow, but what is right now the best I could do, which we'll talk much more about next week. What's right now, this minute, my Avaida? So then he'll do what he has to do. And he'll have a geschmack from it. That's when the Baruch Shem gave us the Torah. It says, Hayayim hazeh niyesu la'am l'Hashem Elokecha. Hayayim hazeh. Today, you became my people. Because the Baruch Shem gave us the Torah in such a way that every single day he wants us to see it in this way, and to hear him telling us, Hayayim hazeh, niyei shalom. Because the whole klipa of Mitzrayim, the whole filth and impurity of Mitzrayim was to make us into what? Into nomads. Into people without a place, into people without a time. And our enemies say that the Jews are wandering Jews. We don't have a place, we don't have a time. We'll talk much more about this in Mitzvah Shem, the sheker of that. But we feel ourselves, God forbid, that we're slaves. So the Baruch Shalom took us out of Mitzrayim and gave us this time of Sfiras HaEmet, which is a time that's mesugal for us to work on this very, very much, to think about the preciousness of time, that we should realize that this time of my life counts, and I have to make it count. And Im le'achshiv emasai, and that's why Ibn Nosson writes over there, so sometimes you can't learn the Blat Gemara, or sometimes you can't do this great mitzvah, sometimes you can't. There are many reasons why, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't get upset or depressed. The question is, what can I do? Don't say, I used to do this and one day I will do it. What can I do? So Rabbi Nelson says, Kol zman shatayocha lachtaif mizeh ha'olam ha'oeve, grab whatever mitzvah you can. This world is a passing world. This minute will never be again. He says, grab it. Eza davish b'kedusha, whatever you can chap. Diba Torah, a word of Torah. So you can't learn the Blat Gemara right now. You don't feel you can, but you can chap a word of Torah. A tefillah, a word of davening, a kapitletum. You can't say the whole tikkun chatzayis. You can't do the tikkun klal. But you can certainly say a kapitletum. You can certainly, you know, by heart. Everybody knows by heart all different things to say. Or is a mitzvah, let's say you don't have a heart or a seichel right now to learn it, to daven, but you could do a mitzvah, tzedakah, you can go over a gemilas chesed, you could call up to help a friend, someone needs chizik. So Rabbi Nelson says, matoiv, whatever it is, the Haraf Ayin, matoiv, to do in a good way. Ki ends, and he says, this is the Moshe B'chol of Dab. Ki lo yishor lucha soif kol soif kim ze levad. Because after 120, thus is thus. That's all you had from that moment, was that either Torah, a word of tefillah, or a chesed, or a tzedakah, or to give a friend some chizuk, or whatever it might be. That's all that a person has. There's a tefillah that Yoni and Sarah sent me from Yerushalayim. Tefillahs that they're from their Rav, from Rav Berland. So there's a whole long tefillah on Lag BaOmer that I already see needs time to start before Lag BaOmer. Just to read to you a sentence or two from a few sentences from this tefillah, to daven it up. Rabbanu Shloilam, Master of the Universe, Ona, please, Chus Rachem Alai, have Rachmanis on me. The Sakin is Kol Esher Avisi. Help me fix whatever it is that I messed up. It's Kol Esher Pagamti, whatever I damaged, Kilkalti, or ruined. So Keni Lassus Tshuva Shloim, help me to do complete Tshuva. Lishmar is Maichi Ve'enai, to guard my mind and my eyes. Lagas b'Torah yomai v'leilaisai, to use my days and nights for learning your Torah. L'haisif kol yom da'as l'kedusha, so that every single day of my life I should be able to increase, to add more understanding of you, of your Torah, and more kedusha. L'b'chinas, like it says in Pasuk, yomim yidaberu, rishonim yediyu chachma, that the many days speak, and over the years inform me and tell me of your wisdom. The days speak and the years talk. We'll talk about this next week. Because this itself is the mystery of the days of Sfira, the sight, the secret of Sfiras Ayin, from which we could take an awareness and understanding for the entire year. Each day Sri Sama is telling us that every day is talking. Each day is telling us something. Kol yom im chachma chadasha yefia. Every single day there's new, we have new access to a new chachma, to knowing more, to feeling your presence more. Bechidus v'shirim, and sing to you, but the sefes kedusha v'nigunim. Each day more kedusha, more nigunim, to sing a nigun, even if a person can't learn, can't daven, can't do any other thing, but a nigun. Nu nigunim. Kol yom im ha'arav chadasha. Every day, the Baruch Shem, you create us again, and every day there's a new light, there's a new ha'arav. Means l'charata, therefore, amit is ma'um kedalibim. Every day there's a new song. Shall the vekas be bayarim a song of attachment to the Creator? This day and this song was never, ever, ever before. Never before. Kol yom mischadish benigun me'or ein saif. Every day is created again with a nigun, with a song from Hashem, from the Infinite One. And this day I could somehow pick up one of the chords of that nigun. The Kayach Chadash, and each day you give me new strength, Liachel Velechsaif, to have hope and to yearn for you. Hamavatlas Kol HaMeichin the Katnis, that could nullify and erase all small mindedness of a slave. The Kailalam Yachad, the Meichin the Godless, to lift me up to a Meichin of Godless, that I should have that way of looking in a big way, to look at life in a big way. And the biggest way of looking at life is to see that Heref Ayin of this tiny little second that I'm living in. And only when a person lives that way can he experience, can he taste of that amazing, delicious mitzvah that's called Menuchas HaNefesh. This is the beginning of the Avodah Menuchas HaNefesh. And this Nakuda Bez Hashem will continue next week. We should be Zoichim Mitzvah Hashem in the meantime. Lishma V'Lasa. It's not only to talk about things, but to begin to live this way. And we should be Zoichim Mitzvah Hashem that this minute should be the best minute ever. And that we should be Zoichim Mitzvah Hashem to hear that new nigin, that nigin that we're going to sing together with Yishlaim HaBnuyah, B'Lashlam B'Amitis, M'Hem Yom.